Last week, we shared some principles about how to pray effectively, how to flesh out your prayers with some meaningful content. And so we're going to continue the rest of that message today. You know, speaking of prayer, I heard a story about a little boy who was praying at bedtime with his mother and his grandmother. And he was praying kind of the typical bedtime prayers. Lord, bless mommy and daddy. Lord, bless my family. Help me to have a good night's rest and watch over me as I sleep. And then he paused and he looked to the heavens and he said, and God, don't forget to give me a new bike for my birthday. And his mom scolded him and said, son, you don't have to yell at God. God isn't deaf. He said, mom, I know God's not deaf, but grandma is. So we're talking about praying with confidence. We don't have to yell at God. We can go to him boldly, but in confidence, knowing that he hears our prayers. And we want to get more effective at prayer. How many of you want to be more effective at prayer? How many of you would say there's needs around your life? There's sick family members. There's financial need. Maybe you have somebody who's hurting, going through a difficult time. Maybe you have some big decisions and you just want to know God's will for your life. You'd say, Pastor Jeremy, I've got some big decisions I have to make. Maybe you're a young person in college or just starting your career, and you'd like to have a more clear sense of God's will. And so we want to get more effective in our prayers. We want to learn to pray according to God's will. And so that's what this series has been all about, knowing that we can approach God with confidence because we're praying according to his will, and we're just opening our hearts to him and just really believing that God hears our prayers. And so I'm expecting to hear some good things come out of this series. I want to hear from you. When God starts showing up and answering those prayers, please share those testimonies. You can email me. You can post it on Facebook, but we want to hear from you what God's doing in your life. And so last week, we talked about getting into this habit of praying daily. And here's the main point I want to reiterate. The greatest catalyst to your spiritual growth is to develop the habit of daily prayer. Daily prayer. Nothing will grow you. Nothing will impact your walk with God more than developing the habit of daily prayer. And we're gonna teach you how to do that. We're going to come alongside of you today and encourage you, because I really believe if you can begin to get into this habit of prayer and spending time with God, you're going to see your relationship with God really begin to develop. You're going to have a greater sense of God's presence in your life. You're going to feel closer to him. And so if you would say, I'm starting off this new year, and one of my goals is I really want to deepen my faith. I really want to have a closer walk with God. I want to have more of a sense of God's presence in my life. I want to tell you that prayer is at the very center of our relationship with God. And we want to help encourage you to get into a daily habit of prayer. So last week, we looked at the most famous scripture in all of the Bible, the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, it's really a model for how we should pray. Jesus gave us this pattern. He gave us this prayer to teach us principles of prayer. There's some foundational principles that should shape the way we pray. You know, some people can pray the Lord's Prayer in their sleep, like from memory, but they don't ever really stop to think about what the words mean, right? A lot of times when we think about the Lord's Prayer, it's one of the first prayers maybe you memorized as a kid, and most of us know it from memory, and we can kind of pray it that way, but sometimes we don't even stop to think about the meaning of the words, but there's some power in there. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praying it word for word, because I do that sometimes too. There's some wonderful declarations in the Lord's Prayer, but what we're after today is to look at the principles and the pattern that Jesus gave us. A few weeks ago, I was praying at the local parish church that I have in my neighborhood. It's my prayer spot. I'm blessed to have this church right at the end of my street. And when I need to get out of my house and away from three noisy boys, it's a really nice place to go and pray. And one evening I was there, and there was a group of old ladies there to pray. I guess it was like the midweek prayer group or something. And they were praying through the rosary and the Lord's Prayer. And I have to be honest with you, I thought, man, this is just painful. Now listen, I love people from all different traditions, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, whatever. It has nothing to do with that. But I was listening to these people pray, and I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody's thinking about what they're saying. And by the fifth or sixth time praying through it, I thought, my Lord, no wonder there's this group of old ladies here and nobody else is interested to come do this, because it just seems so monotonous and so boring. Once again, I'm not picking on the habit. Sometimes we can pray those repetitious things, but here's what I mean. I think when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, he was really teaching us some principles and a pattern there to help us develop our prayer life. And so here's the thing. It's sad that when we think about prayer, sometimes we think about these monotone kind of prayers that people pray and they don't think about what they mean. Prayer is not boring. Prayer is not meant to be something tedious. Prayer is not meant to be something painful. I'm just keeping it real this morning because I think sometimes when people think about prayer, they think about it that way. Prayer can actually be dynamic. Prayer should be something that brings us closer to God. Prayer is something that can really be an adventure in our lives. I remember my pastor, Pastor Tommy Reed, used to say that when we pray, we actually dream with God. We actually get into God's presence and we allow His will to shape and impact our lives, and that can be the most wonderful thing in the world. So that's what we're after today, is to say, God, we want to have a robust prayer life. God, we want to pray with confidence and know that You hear us and know that it's meaningful, and we want to be more effective. And so the Lord's Prayer should really be called the disciples' prayer, because Jesus gave us this prayer so that we could grow closer to God, so that we could become greater followers of God, our Father. And so it's really a prayer for His disciples. In fact, the great British minister Selwyn Hughes said, a disciple is someone who has learned to pray the Lord's Prayer. I believe if we really learn to pray through this pattern of prayer and we really get the principles behind it, we'll actually become more committed followers of Jesus. And so we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer today. And I just want to say that this can be a great foundation for your prayer life. I pray through the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis. It's become foundational for me. It's just a wonderful pattern to think through. And you never have to wonder where to start if you begin to develop a pattern in your prayer life. And so we're going to look at the text of the Lord's Prayer in just a moment. But we're going to look at six elements of effective prayer. And here's what I want to say to you. I want to issue this challenge to you again, because last week I challenged you to start praying 15 minutes a day. How did you do? I know some of you did really good. Maybe you made it through the whole week. Maybe you made a few days and you missed a few other days. And maybe some of you feel discouraged, but that's okay. We're going to start all over again. We get a fresh week and we're in this together, okay? We're doing this together. And here's what I believe. If you can take these principles of prayer and begin to put them into practice, and if you can pray through each of these six elements for 3 or 4 minutes, you'll easily fill that time. And it's not just about filling the time, but it's learning how to pray more effectively and how to develop this relationship with God. And so that's what I want to encourage you. We're going to take these principles, and I want to encourage you, as part of this 31 days of prayer, we want to develop this habit of prayer, and I want to encourage you to spend a few minutes praying through each one of these elements. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, we're going to look at Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. And let me set it up for you. Jesus' disciples had heard Jesus praying one time. He was coming out of a time of prayer. And they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They had noticed that Jesus was effective in His prayer time. They noticed that Jesus was close to God. He had this relationship with the Father, and He was doing miracles, and He was preaching these powerful messages. And they said, Jesus, we want to pray more effectively like You. In fact, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so this is what Jesus taught them. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Let's read this together, or pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And some translations add, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So let me recap the first three principles that we taught on last week. Are you ready? And when you came in today, you should have gotten a little note sheet. If you'd like to take some notes, just find that. And it's a great little way for you to take down some notes, and you can remember these principles and review them during the week. So here's the first principle, worship. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is worship. In worship, I focus on who God is, on who He is. Jesus said to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Jesus taught us that when we pray, we orient ourselves in worship. We focus on who God is. God is our Father. Jesus taught us that we can actually have such a close relationship with God the Father that we can call Him Father. We can have this intimate, close relationship. We can go to Him trusting, knowing that He's a good, loving, heavenly Father. And then He said, our Father in heaven. When we recognize that God is in heaven, this is our way of saying, God, You are sovereign. God, You are in control. God, You rule and You reign over all of the earth. God, You are up above my circumstances and my situation and my problems. You're in it with me, but You reign over everything, and God, You've got this. God, you've got this, and I'm trusting in you, and I'm trusting that you have the answers. And here's what happens. When you look to the heavens and when you begin to worship and focus on God, God becomes bigger and your problems become smaller. We magnify God and we minimize our problems. That's what happens in worship. And then he said, hallowed be your name. In ancient times, somebody's name represented their character. Names were very powerful, very meaningful, right? So then we begin to focus on God's character. And this is very simple. In your prayer time, you can just begin to name the character of God. List the things that you're thankful for. God, I thank you that you're loving. God, I thank you that you're good. God, I thank you that you're merciful. I thank you that you're my provider. God, I thank you that your grace is made new to me today. So you can actually do that. And maybe you want to begin your prayer time by putting a worship song on. That's wonderful as well. But we want to orient ourselves in worship. See, what we don't want to do is we don't want to go to prayer and just worry out loud to God for 10 or 15 minutes. You can do that with anybody else. But we want to go to God trusting him and knowing who he is. And so when you begin your prayer time with worship, even when your heart is heavy, even when you feel overwhelmed, when you begin to worship God, it sets your focus on him. And God just becomes bigger and bigger, and your problems pale in comparison to an all-powerful God who rules from heaven, who also happens to be your loving Heavenly Father. So begin your prayer time with worship. Here's the second principle, the second part of the pattern that Jesus gave us. The second part is agreement. Everybody say agreement. In agreement, I declare the promise of God's will. This is where I come into agreement with God's will for my life. Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where we come into agreement with God for his will for our lives. And when we acknowledge his kingdom, when we acknowledge that God rules and reigns in heaven, at the center of every kingdom is the king, right? His rule and his reign. That's what God's kingdom is about. So here's what happens when we focus on the kingdom of God and we invite his kingdom to come and his will to come on earth as it is in heaven. What happens is we look around at our world, at our situation, at our need. We see lack. We see sickness. We see brokenness. We see strife. We see all of these things that aren't as they should be. And what happens is we focus on heaven and we say, God, we know in heaven there's perfection. In heaven, there is wholeness. In heaven, there is peace, right? In heaven, God, everything is in perfect order. So God, we're inviting the order of heaven to come into our lives, to invade our lives. And then we couple that by saying, God, your will be done in my life. Your will be done. If you're making decisions, just daily guidance for work and for your family, for your marriage, God, I want to know your will. And so you're partnering and you're coming into agreement with God's will for your life. You never have to worry if you're praying accurately, if you're praying according to God's will. And so then you might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, how do I know how to pray God's will? Well, the more time you spend in Scripture, the more you'll know God's will. God's will is found in God's Word. So you begin to pray the Scriptures. And that's why this Praying with Confidence book is such a good place to start if you're developing this habit of prayer, because it's all about praying the Scriptures. So that's the second thing. We come into agreement. Here's the third thing. We come to God with thanksgiving. In thanksgiving, I remember what God has done. This is a very simple one, very practical. Jesus said, give us this day to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that's a request, but that's also a request marked by gratitude, right? Because when you say, give me this day my daily bread, there's a recognition that God is your provider. And if I thank him for today's bread, then I'm mindful that he provided yesterday's bread and he's going to provide tomorrow's bread. So there's some gratitude here. And so this is a very, very simple thing to put into practice in prayer. This is where you just begin to thank God for his blessings in your life. How many of you know it's really easy to focus on the things in our lives that are going wrong? Boy, we don't have a hard time putting together a list of things we're complaining about, right? If I were to ask you, tell me about some of your problems in life, you could just rattle off a list to me. But what we need to do is we need to train ourselves to become people of gratitude. See, if you'll practice gratitude, you'll become a person of gratitude. It'll literally shape your character. And so this is very simple. God, I thank you for all of the things you've done in my life. God, I do this sometimes, seriously, because I've been to some third world countries. God, I thank you for the roof over my head. God, I thank you that I slept in a warm bed last night. God, I thank you for a clean, warm shower. God, I thank you for food. God, I thank you. I'm not going to miss a meal today unless I'm fasting, but you got me. You're going to take care of me, right? And so you just begin to thank him. For those of you who like to journal, do you have any journalers in here? If you like to journal with your devotions, you can just write out some things. Develop that daily habit of just writing out a few things that you're thankful for. So that's a very practical and easy thing just to put into to practice, remembering what God has done. Okay, we're going to do points 4, 5, and 6 today and teach on those. That's the first three. If you missed last week's message, I want to encourage you to go to redemptioncommunitychurch.org, go to messages, and you can listen to last week's message and hear more about those three principles, because today we're going to look at the rest of the Lord's Prayer. Here's the fourth thing, requests. We go to God with our requests. In requests, I ask for what I need and desire. So once again, this is give me this day, give us this day our daily bread. So we go to God in gratitude, but we also go to him and make our requests. Now, this is the part of prayer that we're all very familiar with, right? We go to God asking for something we need. Even kids understand this principle of prayer. And here's the thing. Sometimes we feel guilty about that. Like, you know, I only go to God when I need something. And listen, you don't have to feel bad about going to God with your needs. Now, I'm not talking about every want that you have. I mean, Jesus frames it by saying, you know, give me this day my daily bread. You know, bread was staple food in the ancient Near East. People had to have bread every day. So this is dependence upon God for our daily needs. But I also believe it entails the desires of our hearts. See, remember, we began this by saying we open our prayer time in worship. And what do we do in worship? In worship, we acknowledge that God is our Father. So if you go to God in prayer knowing that he's your Father, that should shape the way you bring him your request. You can go to him knowing that he's a good God, knowing that he loves you and he cares about your needs. You can go to him in faith as you bring those requests, those needs that you have for your finances, for your health, for your job, for your family. You can go to God in confidence knowing that he's your heavenly Father and he wants to meet that need. And so, see, that's going to build our faith as we go to him, believing that we can bring our needs to him and he cares about our needs. God delights in doing things for us. Now, when it comes to making requests, I want to encourage you to be specific. Be specific and name those things. Like I said, if you do a journal, write those things down. One of my favorite pastors and authors, Pastor Mark Batterson, he wrote a book called The Circle Maker. Maybe some of you have read that book. It's a really good book on prayer. I want to encourage you. That's another great book that will help you encourage in your prayer life. But in the book, he uses this illustration of drawing circles around the things that we're praying for, circling those things that we're praying for, circling that need for a job, circling that need for healing in your loved one, circling that need for financial provision, circling that need for a relationship to be restored, or for a broken family member to find healing. So we need to be specific and bring those things to God. But once again, when we pray, we come to God in agreement with his will for our lives. So you begin to understand how each principle stacks up and they all work together. So when we come to God, we have to remember that our prayers are shaped by God's will for our lives. And sometimes we're going to get a no to our prayer request. And sometimes we're going to get a wait to our prayer requests, and God's going to answer our prayer in his timing. And that's where we have to trust his will. That's where we have to trust that his ways are above our ways. It doesn't always make sense when we don't get the answer we want. It doesn't always make sense that we don't get it in the timing that we would like to see things happen. But here's the posture of our prayers. We go to God and we say, God, I'm trusting that you're my Father, that you love me and you know what's best for me. And here's what's on my heart. And I bring it to you, but God, I trust you for it. I trust you for the rest, God. I trust you for the result. And here's the other thing I believe. I really believe as we learn to pray according to God's will, it begins to shape the things we want and we desire. The psalmist says, and you might remember this psalm, he said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Boy, did you catch how that goes together though? You delight yourself in the Lord and then he gives you the desires of your heart. Well, what happens? As you delight yourself in the Lord, he begins to shape what your heart desires. As you begin to pray in agreement with his will for your life, you begin to pray according to his will. See, most of us know somebody who's really frustrated about prayer because they don't really have a relationship with God. But every time they need something, they kind of throw these prayers up to God. And then they get really frustrated when they feel like God never answers their prayers. But a lot of times they're praying for things that aren't according to God's will. They're praying these really selfish, out of whack, out of tune prayers. And so they're like, this prayer thing doesn't work. Well, you prayed for God to give you a Ferrari and he never promised that, did he? But as you begin to delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. He begins to shape the desires of your heart. All right, we're going to keep going. Here's the fifth one. The fifth principle is confession. In confession, I forgive and I pursue forgiveness. Now, I think a lot of us, when we hear the word confession, we don't get really warm, fuzzy feelings about that word. You know, maybe you think about confessing to a crime. Maybe you have flashbacks of like confessing to your priest and being given 100 Hail Marys to do. And you're like, no. But confession is actually like a really positive thing. See, in confession, we find release. In confession, we find release from our guilt and our burdens and our sins and the things that weigh us down. Jesus said to pray, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. How many of you know that it's a feeling of release to be free from debt? if somebody were to pay off all your debt right now, how many of you would just feel a little bit lighter on your feet and a little happier? Some of y'all are like, amen up in here. I can amen for that, baby. And that's what happens in prayer. See, there are two things that will weigh us down, two things that will clog your spiritual pipeline, so to speak, and that's guilt and hurt. Now, this isn't in the notes and the blanks, but you might want to write this down. Two things that will clog you up spiritually, guilt and hurt. So we got to deal with those things. We have to deal with guilt. And this is where we come to God and we confess our sins, where we say, God, forgive me of my debts. Forgive me of my trespasses. Forgive me of my sins. This is very practical. Here's how you do this in prayer. You come to God and you simply say, God, I know that I've done things that are wrong and I'm asking for your forgiveness. God, I know that I spoke words that were hurtful. God, I know I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. God, I know I entertained a thought that doesn't honor you. God, I know I lost my temper. And God, I acknowledge my sin. I admit my sin. But God, I receive your forgiveness. And see, then as you begin to pray according to God's word, you can really pray with some boldness, because if you know what the word says, then you can go to God and say, now, God, I declare that through the cross of Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven. God, by your grace, because you shed your blood for me, God, I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm not condemned, and I can stand right before you, God, because of your sacrifice on the cross for me. And I'm telling you, it would do you good to confess that. There'll be a sense of release that comes over you. See, confession breaks the power of sin. That's what confession does. Confession breaks the power of sin. The enemy of your spirit, the enemy of your soul, wants you to feel condemnation. And what happens when you feel condemnation is you pull away from God. You feel like, I can't go to God because I'll never be good enough. No, the truth is, you need to do the exact opposite. When you've crashed and burned, those are the times when you need to run to God, your Father, who is merciful and who receives you by his grace. Come on, I got good news for you today. God receives you by your grace, no matter what you've done. And so sometimes the human tendency is to pull away. But those are the times when we need to run to God with our failures. You know, my kids, every now and then, you know, they mess up. And instead of coming to us and confessing what they've done, they kind of try to hide their tracks and cover it up. How many of you know that only makes things worse, not better? That only complicates things. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we tell our kids sometimes, we say, now listen, when you make a mistake, we want you to come to mom and dad and tell us the truth. It's a lot better than trying to cover things. You know, it's a lot better than not telling the truth. So you need to come to us when you mess up and you need to confess, okay? Because we love you, but we'll also kill you. We brought you into this world and we can take you out. So you better come tell us the truth. Well, that's a lot better when they just come to us and they don't try to complicate things and cover everything up. So we have to deal with our guilt. Then here's the other thing. We have to deal with our hurt. We have to deal with our hurt. This is really going to help somebody this morning. I'm telling you, I really believe somebody's going to get healing in their heart today if you'll get a hold of this principle. Then we have to take inventory of the people who have hurt us and wronged us, the people that we need to forgive. So Jesus says, start out this way. God, forgive us. Lord, forgive us of our debts. Forgive us of our sins, of our trespasses, as we also forgive those who have sinned against us, as we forgive our debtors. Some of you learn to pray this way, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Boy, that trespass word, that's a real word picture, isn't it, right? What happens when somebody trespasses? Trespasses means somebody stepped on your property without permission, right? Somebody got all up in your business and caused you a problem and hurt you, and now you're dealing with the mess. See, I grew up in a neighborhood where we understood trespass. I grew up in a neighborhood where my dad's church got broken into on a regular basis. My house got broken into a few times. My dad's shed used to get broken into. We understood trespass. If there was somebody sketchy walking on your property, you were going to talk to him. You were going to find out what they were up to. You were going to give them the eye, or I was going to let my dog loose and go after him. I had a little French poodle, but boy, she was nasty. She could scare some people. But I'll tell you who you didn't want to mess with was my mom. I'm going to tell you what, you did not want to mess with my mama. There was some time that I watched my mom kick somebody's behind off our property. If they were sketchy, I don't know what you're doing here. Well, I'm here for the church. Really? I'm not so sure. You're not welcome. Because we understood what it meant in my neighborhood not to trespass. I'll tell you some stories later on. And so this word is very powerful here. This word is very powerful. And this is how we do this. This is how we put this into practice. Okay, literally we say, God, I release and I forgive this person. And you may have to name that person. And I'm going to tell you, forgiveness is a process. It's interesting that this is a daily prayer that we can pray. And sometimes you have to keep forgiving people on a daily basis. Some of y'all are like, that's not hard for me to imagine. Sometimes you got to forgive your boss like every day, right? Because going to work and having a shooting spree is not an option. We don't want to see you on the 6 o'clock news. And so sometimes forgiveness is a process. Sometimes you just got to keep forgiving that person. You just got to keep checking your feelings. If you will check your feelings, your heart will tell you the people that you need to forgive. If you will take stock, take inventory of your heart. And so you need to actually name that person. God, I release this person. I give them to you. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. There's a release that comes. You see, the biblical idea of forgiveness is release. In fact, the word that Jesus uses here in the Greek in the New Testament, it literally translates to set someone free. See, we don't think about it that way. When we forgive somebody, we kind of think it's really, you know, it's really about us. But in a way, when somebody's hurt you, it's like you're carrying them around. This is the picture we see in Scripture. Tell me if this doesn't resonate. When somebody's really hurt you and you haven't found forgiveness, it's like they're the monkey on your back. You're still carrying them around. You're carrying that baggage around, and that person's still hurting you. Now listen, they may have moved on in life and they're not even thinking about you, but you're still thinking about them. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. You're seeing somebody's face right now. You're seeing their face like a dartboard. You just want to throw darts at it. Can we just be real in church today? Come on. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting today. But when you confess that, when you release that person, there's a sense of freedom that comes. There's a sense of freedom that comes for you. They can't hurt you anymore. And there's a release that happens. And I'm telling you, if you will begin your day and you will make this part of your daily prayer, God, I receive your grace into my life and I'll offer it to others, it'll change your life. Some people that you know are walking around bitter. They're literally physically sick. They've been so emotionally distraught over what's happened, they're literally physically sick and they can't move forward in life because they need to forgive somebody. And so Jesus knew how important, how powerful it was. And that's why he gave us this principle of forgiveness and release and praying this every day, confession. And so I want to encourage you to make that a part of your daily prayer life. And you're going to begin to feel a sense of the spiritual pipes becoming unclogged. And you're going to feel more healthy in your soul. And then here's the last principle, declaration. Declaration. This is where I align my lips with my life and my life with God's purpose. In declaration, I speak something out. I align my lips and my life with God's purpose. Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what Jesus taught us to pray, right? This is where we say, God, I believe it's my destiny to overcome temptation. God, you're going to lead me over it. God, you're not leading me into temptation, but God, you want me to be victorious. You want to lead me over it. You don't want the same old sins and habits and brokenness to define me, but God, I'm believing that by your grace, I'm going to be a different person and I'm going to overcome temptation. And God, you're with me in this thing. You're with me in this. Now see, what I love about this part of the prayer is it's so honest because number one, it just acknowledges that we all face temptation. It acknowledges the human weakness that we're all going to be subject to temptation, but it doesn't stop there. And see, here's the truth. This is why this is so good. Sometimes we can get fatalistic in our prayers. God, I'm just a low down, dirty, no good sinner, and I'm always going to struggle with this, but I thank you for your grace. No. Prayer is meant to be transformative. It's meant to be transformative. God wants to place inside of you a new heart and a new spirit. He's making you into something, into someone, his child, his daughter, his son. And so here's what happens. We get a heart transplant here because we say, God, lead me not into temptation, but God, you're going to deliver me. God, you're going to take me above this thing. And I'm believing, God, I'm not going to be the same person that I've been. See, we have to build our faith. We have to believe for that. If not, we can just stay doing the same old thing. Even if you're battling with some things. Some of you would say today, Pastor Jeremy, I have some habitual problems. I have some secret addictions. I have some sins in my life, and it's not easy to overcome. I'm with you. I understand that. Most of us in here, if we're honest, we have some things we struggle with. But here's what we want to do. We want to believe, God, I believe you're working in my life, and I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to overcome this thing by your grace. And so we want to speak that out in prayer. We want to speak that out and let our lips align with God's purpose for our lives. We don't want to resign ourselves to the fact that we're going to be the same old person, have the same old problems. But we want to tap into the victory and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome those things. And so we want to partner with God's will to see his will accomplished in our lives. And then I love how the prayer comes full circle. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's worship, isn't it? See, the prayer began with worship. Our prayer is really framed in worship, isn't it? It begins with worship, acknowledging that God's our Father, that he's in heaven, that his character is good. And then it ends with worship. It ends with worship. God, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. God, yours is the glory. Any victory that happens in my life, you get the glory, God. You get the glory for it. comes full circle. And so I really want to encourage you today. I really want to encourage you to do your part. And your part is to meet God halfway and begin to put these principles into practice in your prayer life. And here's what I believe. I really believe you're gonna experience God's presence in your life in a whole new way. I believe God is gonna touch you. I believe you're gonna begin to develop a sense of God's his goodness in your life, more of a strong relationship with him. You're gonna grow spiritually. I believe this has the power to impact your life. And so I want to pray for you this morning as the worship team comes back and we come to the close of the message this morning. And I want to tell you that developing your prayer life will grow you spiritually like never before. When you develop your prayer life, listen to me, you take ownership of your soul. You take ownership of your soul. And I said this to you last week, and I'm going to say it to you again, because I really believe there's some people in this place today. You want to see your prayer life be more effective. I know most everybody in here, you have some needs. You have some family and some friends around you, and you have some things you've been praying for. And you really want to see your prayer life become effective. You want to know God's will for your life. And I know some of you have been very frustrated. It's felt like God doesn't answer my prayers. Maybe it's you've wondered if God is there. You haven't even known where to start. But we just want to give you a springboard today. Springboard today, just take these principles and put them into practice. As you think through the Lord's Prayer, most of us, many of us, if you've been in church for any amount of time, know the Lord's Prayer. If you begin to think through it, even take these notes with you, and you begin to pray for 2 or 3 minutes for each one of these patterns, listen, you will be praying as Jesus taught us to pray. And you will become a more committed follower of Jesus. Because this is the prayer that he gave for his followers, for his disciples. This begins to shape our walk with God. This is what draws us closer to him. And I'm telling you, if you don't develop this prayer life, you're going to be stalled out in your spiritual growth. If you just live from Sunday morning to Sunday morning, you kind of get the emotional high of coming to church. Listen, I'm thankful for that. Don't get me wrong. Some of you are coming back to church for the first time in a long time. Some of you are here today because somebody invited you. Some of you are in here today because you came to see Star Wars and you found out there was a church here in the movie theater. And you're like, that's kind of crazy. I'm going to go check that out. I'm going to go see what these crazy people are doing up in there singing and playing the drums in Theater One over there. And you're here. And we're so glad you're here. And so maybe you're just getting in the habit of coming back to church on Sunday morning. That's wonderful. But here's what I want to tell you. If you want to accelerate your spiritual growth, then our prayer is the same prayer of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And that's really the first thing I want us all to pray today in just a moment as we pray. Here's what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit will come alongside of you. The scripture says if we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. And so I believe the Holy Spirit's going to come alongside of us, and he's going to help us to pray, to be more effective. I believe God wants us to have that relationship with him. He wants to be close to us. And then I want us to pray through these principles, because I know that some of you, you're here today, and there's some things that weigh heavy on your heart. And I want you to have that sense that God is with you, that he's your father, that he loves you. And some of you are waiting. You're in that waiting pattern right now. Some of you haven't gotten the answer you were hoping to get. Some of you got to know. Some of you got to wait. I just want you to know that God loves you. He's for you. I don't have all the answers for all of that, but we trust that God is good, and we leave our prayers to him according to his will. But some of you, you really need to allow God's will to begin to shape those prayers, that you're praying according to what he would have for you. And so would you stand with me this morning as we pray today? And I want to encourage you as we begin this new week to just recommit yourself to this goal. God, I'm going to get into your presence and I'm going to pray 5, 10, 15. Start somewhere. Start on your morning commute if you have to. If you can't block out all the time together, listen, I know life is crazy. Pray throughout the day. Maybe it's some increments. Maybe if you're going to join us in the fasting, maybe it's, you know, during my usual lunchtime, I'm just going to set aside some time. I'm going to get out my Bible, or I'm going to get out the Praying with Confidence book, and I'm going to just pray through some of those prayers. Start somewhere and begin to develop this habit. You know, I read somewhere if you do something for 21 days, it can become a habit in your life. Boy, wouldn't 21 days of prayer, we've called it 31 days, but wouldn't getting into the habit of prayer, what kind of effect would that have on your life? What kind of change could that have on your life? I'm thankful for your diets. I'm thankful that some of you are going to the gym. I'm thankful that some of you are saving money this year. I'm thankful that some of you are setting out to find true love. You're on eHarmony.com this year. I'm so happy for you. But listen, if you want something that's going to change your life like never before, get into the presence of God. Start downloading His will into your life. Start saying, God, your kingdom come into this world. God, your kingdom come into my situation. God, I got some messed up, crazy family members that need Jesus. And God, I'm asking you to save somebody. Lord, you know, I need financial provision. God, I'm asking you to help me be wise with my finances, but God, I'm looking to you for the job that I need. God, I have some big decisions to make this year, and God, I want to know that I'm walking according to your will, and God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to know your blessing over my kids. I don't want my kids to repeat the same mistakes that I made. I don't want them to have to go through those hurts. I don't want them to stray away, but God, I'm asking for your will and your blessing to come over their lives. Come on, if that's you this morning, that's what this is all about. Prayer is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. It doesn't have to be some boring, tedious thing, but it literally invites the presence of the living God into our lives. So would you pray with me this morning? Father, we're coming to you today, God, and we're asking, even as your disciples asked, we're saying, God, teach us to pray. Jesus, teach us to pray. God, we admit today that we're busy. We admit that we're distracted. God, we admit that sometimes we don't even know what to say. So Holy Spirit, we're asking you to come alongside of us, God. God, we want to draw near to you, but God, we're asking you to come alongside of us and make us people of prayer. God, we're asking that we would have a sense that you're with us, that we would have a sense that you're closer to us, that we would have a sense of your love, and that, God, you do hear our prayers, God. And so teach us to pray, God. And Father, we begin to pray according to this pattern. Even now, God, we come to you in worship, trusting that you're good, trusting that you've got us covered, trusting that, God, you are all-powerful, God. And God, we come into agreement for your will to be done in our lives. God, we say, your kingdom come into our lives, into our homes, into our marriage, into our sphere of influence. God, come into Westchester County, God. God, come into Portchester and Greenwich and White Plains and Rye and Harrison. God, come into our lives and our community, God. We need you to show up. Come into our workplace, oh God. And God, may your will be done in our lives, God. And Father, we're asking you to forgive us of our debts, of our sins, of our trespasses. God, we receive your grace today. And God, help us to release that person who hurt us. You might just want to say their name right now. God, we release that person who hurt us today. We're not going to carry them around anymore and let them hurt us, God, but we release them back to you with the same grace that was given to us. We release them by your grace today, God. And God, we're saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, God. But we thank you that we're going to overcome in the same habits and failures and sins and mistakes. They're not going to define us, God. They're not going to define us anymore. But we're going to overcome. For yours, God, is the kingdom. Come on, say that with me. God, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.